Well, welcome, and we're about to now start a time when we'll look at God's Word. Let's ask the Lord for His help as we do that now. Our Father, we just want to pause and thank You for Your great Word. We thank You for how it's inspired of You and given for our benefit and for Your glory. And we ask that You help us all to have humble hearts and teachable hearts as we look at Your great truth today. We thank You for the help of Your wonderful Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the author of Your Word and also our teacher. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's been times, many times in my life, when I have felt so blessed of God. And I hope you've also experienced that too. One of those great blessings, when I felt very blessed of God, was when I stood here on this stage 36 years ago with my best friend Colleen, and we got married. I felt such a blessed person having Colleen to be my wife. And there's been many other times when I felt so blessed of God. One of the great highlights for Colleen and I has been the joy of seeing our children at separate times come to love Jesus and to open their heart to Him. How blessed we felt as we saw our children embracing the Lord Jesus and coming into God's great family that we're part of. And then there's been other times that I have felt so blessed, just in recent times, within the last year. I think of how blessed I felt having the opportunity to go to Israel with Colleen, and to be able to especially walk around the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked, or to be in Jerusalem, the place where Jesus went to and where He deliberately died for us and rose from the dead in order to save us. How blessed I felt being able to see these places. And then just in February, I felt so blessed of God going with a wonderful team from the Bazo Church, and we went to the Philippines. And we felt so blessed being able to really encourage Amy and Isaac, and to be able to minister to the kids at Tondo, and to go to jails and to preach the gospel to people who were facing a horrible future. And then even going to Panay and ministering to the Aati people down there. You just feel so blessed when you sense God is upon you and God is using you for His glory. And I mention these things today because we're going to look at a fantastic resurrection account in John chapter 20 that speaks about those who are blessed. We're going to consider those blessed of God. So let's begin, if you have your Bibles, by turning with me to John chapter 20. So this is the second half of John 20, where we're going to be looking not at Mary Magdalene, but what happens after Jesus had revealed Himself to Mary Magdalene. And I'd like to pick up the story from verse 19 and 20. It says, John chapter 20, 19 and 20. So when it was evening on that day, that's a Sunday evening, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He had said this, He showed them both His hands and His side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And you remember the background to this story. They had heard from the women that Jesus was alive. The angels had told them that. And they'd heard from the two men that went to Emmaus that Jesus was alive. But still, the disciples did not believe. They doubted. They did not believe that Jesus was alive. So how incredible it would have been when Jesus broke through into this locked room and He revealed that He was alive. And He said those magnificent words to them, "Peace be with you." The other gospel accounts tell us that they were startled and frightened, as you would be, because they didn't believe He was alive. And we read here how Jesus made it clear to them that He wasn't a ghost, it was really Him. His body had been raised to life. He even had the wound marks from the cross in His body. And so that's how it was. And how special it was. I want you to see how blessed of God they were, because they had assembled and because Jesus came into their midst. How blessed of God they were that in their gathering they were given great revelation concerning Jesus being alive. I just want to point out to you all how there's something that we can relate to here as well. How blessed of God we are when we meet together. Because when we meet together, Jesus comes into our midst. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." So we can experience that same blessing. When we meet together, Jesus comes to be in our presence. And not only that, when we come and assemble together, as we come and worship God, as we come and break bread and remember Jesus, as we come to consider God's great word, we have the wonderful blessing of God upon us in the sense that he reveals new things to us, new revelations, and he gives us new joy and a new heart to rejoice. How lovely it is to be meeting together like we see the disciples doing. Those who are blessed of God are those who meet together in Jesus' name, just like the disciples found long ago. And it might be strange me talking about these things, especially when we can't meet together. I mean, is Hebrews 10 verse 25 appropriate for our time at the moment? Hebrews 10 25 says, "Do not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." What a great instruction. But we can't really do that at the moment, except being in little churches in our homes. But nevertheless, let us continue to meet together, even in very small groups, even only in our family unit. May we know the beauty and the wonder of Jesus still being in our presence, where two or more are gathered, and having the Lord Jesus minister to us by his Spirit, that we might be continually growing in understanding the Word of God and having a heart filled with joy. And we look forward to the day when we will be able to come back and be together in this wonderful chapel, rejoicing together, having Jesus come into our presence. How blessed we are when we're able to meet together like that. But now, let's move on in this passage. And we're now going to consider not the disciples, but the doubter. Of course, his name is Thomas. And I'd like us to read together from John chapter 20, 24 and 25. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." And just to pause, we don't know why he wasn't there. It was a pretty important meeting to be at, but for some reason he wasn't with the disciples. And then verse 25 says, "So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Can you imagine how enthusiastic they would have been to Thomas? But then we read these words, "But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Wow! Thomas sounds like a modern day skeptic. He sounds like an atheist scientist. He's got that thinking, that common thinking. "Unless I see, I will not believe." Seeing is believing. Because he hadn't seen the risen Jesus, he believed that Jesus was still dead. He thought his fellow disciples were absolutely ridiculous and delusional as they insisted, "We have seen the Lord." He was very forthright to them as well. Did you notice that in verse 25? "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." There was no discussion this with Thomas. And not only that, it appears to me that Thomas just wants to stay in unbelief. It doesn't seem to me in our text here that he goes out of his way to actually ask the disciples some questions or to talk to the two that went on the road to Emmaus and they met the stranger, Jesus. The stranger they met with Jesus. We didn't even talk to Mary Magdalene, who also saw the Lord, or the woman who went to the tomb early on that Sunday morning. No, he couldn't be bothered. He was just stuck in unbelief, lost in unbelief. He wasn't just a doubter, we call him a doubter. He was an unbeliever. And we need to appreciate this in regarding Thomas, in order to see how remarkable is the next part of what it says in the Bible. So let's read that. We read verses 26 and 27. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Now he's joining them. Look what we read next. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and he stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Now friends, when I consider this part of the story, I can't help but think of how blessed Thomas is. Why do I say that? Why is Thomas so blessed? Because I can't help but see the incredible grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus to Thomas. He was an unbeliever. He was rude and obstinate in believing. He would not believe. And yet look at this. Jesus comes into that room as if it was just to meet Thomas. He says to Thomas, "Peace be with you," and looks at him and says, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Wow, look at the grace of Jesus in helping this unbeliever believe. He didn't deserve this. He deserved to be treated like any unbeliever. But look at the grace of Jesus. Look at his patience. Look at his kindness to Thomas in bringing him to faith. And he sure did come to faith. From this moment on, Thomas became a great follower of Jesus. We understand that his passion for Christ was so great that he even went as far as India to share the gospel of Jesus with people in the world. But look at Jesus. And look how blessed Thomas was to receive God's kindness, God's patience. The grace of Jesus was upon him. Why am I mentioning this? Because I can't help but think we're like this, are we not? How are we? What wonderful truth it is. What blessing we have received from God even before we became a Christian in regard to God working in our life, in drawing us to Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And we too were lost in unbelief, but by God's incredible grace and mercy, because of his great patience and kindness, he didn't give up on us if we've come to faith in Christ, but he kept persisting. We are so blessed of God to have known the drawing power of God, drawing us to Jesus. We have been so blessed of God having the Spirit work in our life, opening our hardened hearts to him, allowing our blinded minds to see and believe. We are so blessed of God to have God help us turn from unbelievers to believers in Jesus. We can relate to Thomas. I remember in my own life for 5 years pushing away at Jesus, resisting him, not wanting to have Jesus as the Lord of my life. And I cannot help but think how blessed of God I was for God to continue to be patient with me, drawing me and helping me come to finally yield to Jesus and give my life to him. We are so blessed of God, like Thomas was. If it wasn't for that blessing, he would have been lost forever. But what grace Thomas experienced, just like we do. There's a beautiful passage in Titus chapter 3, 4 to 6. Titus chapter 3, 4 to 6, where we read some beautiful words of how God has dealt with us. Starting at verse 4, it says, "But when the kindness of God our Saviour and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour." Wow, that's how God has treated us. If we are Christians, if we are followers of Christ, if we are born again, how blessed of God we are. For we have been brought into the kingdom by his great grace. And now I'd like us to look at one amazing verse that follows on from this reading. And it's John chapter 20, verse 28. And this is how Thomas responds to Jesus. John 20, verse 28. Thomas answered and said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Friends, what a declaration this unbeliever makes once he became a believer. Once he was sure that Jesus had truly been raised from the dead. Indeed, Thomas is the one who makes the greatest declaration of all the apostles, including Peter. He just nails it. He sees the risen Jesus before him, and he knew exactly what it meant. This one is the Lord. This one, he is God. Wow. Jesus is the Lord. What do we mean by that? He's the King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Or another way to put it, he is the Christ, the King and the Lord that God the Father has appointed for us. This Thomas acknowledged when he saw the risen Jesus before him. And one day, every knee will bow before Jesus, and every knee will bow, and not only that, but everyone will honour Jesus and name him and call him Lord to the glory of God the Father, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. But this Jesus is not just the Lord. So correctly, so rightly does Thomas say, "You are God." For he is truly God. He is fully God. And remember, John's gospel begins with that awesome truth way back at the beginning. We read in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word," Word there being a term for Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Wow, what a beginning. And it's at the very end, near the very end of John's Gospel, that Thomas declares that truth again as he sees the risen Jesus. But you know, Thomas doesn't just say, "You are the Lord, you are God," or "You're our Lord, and you're our God." He makes it personal. He says, "You are my Lord and my God." And how we also must make it personal. If we don't make it personal, if we don't make Jesus my Lord and my God, then we don't know him. We are still lost in our sins. We are not saved. We must come to know him personally. Is Jesus your Lord and your God? And consider this Jesus. We've been considering those blessed of God, but now we're considering the blessed God himself, even the divine Christ. Consider that this one that Thomas so rightly identifies to be the Lord and to be God, that's exactly how it is. The only way us sinners could ever be forgiven and be made right with God. It could never have been through another human doing something for us, or even an earthly king, or even an angel. It had to be God himself. It had to be the great judge himself, who would have to come down to earth and stand in the dock and bear the punishment of our sins. Only the judge himself could reverse the sentence of death upon us. Only the judge himself, by bearing our sins, could he truly bring about forgiveness and pardon to us. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus was prepared to come from heaven to earth to take on our humanity and die in our place as God and Lord in order to save us. That is phenomenal. Praise be to his name. And then, in verse 29, the Lord Jesus responds to Thomas's great declaration, "My Lord and my God." And let me point out, first of all, how Jesus does not reprimand Thomas for calling him God. Because he really is. There was no place for Jesus to say, "No, you've gone too far." Because Thomas was actually speaking the absolute truth. Before him stood our God. But what does Jesus say to him? He's reprimanded for something else. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed?" There's a reprimand there. Thomas, you had to see before you could believe. Now listen to what it goes on to say. It then goes on to say, blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. Friends, Jesus is referring to us. He's looking down the corridors of time and he's beholding us. We who have come to believe in Jesus, even though we didn't walk with him while on this earth, even though we didn't see him die upon the cross for our sins, even though we didn't see him raised from the dead with his glorious new body, with the wound marks of the cross in his body, even though we haven't seen any of those things, Jesus wants to tell us something really important. You are blessed. You are blessed of God by believing in me, even though you haven't seen me. How encouraging is that? This is the deal. Without sight and without signs, we are to believe in Jesus. We are to turn to Jesus and trust in him. And the deal is, if you do that, you are blessed of God. Blessed full and beyond measure. What blessing there is for all of us who trust in Jesus and believe in him, even though we have never seen him. And how blessed are we? We're so blessed. We're so blessed because we have eternal life through believing in Jesus. It goes on to say in John chapter 20, verse 31, but these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We are so blessed believing in Jesus. We have life in his name, eternal life, fullness of life, abundant life, just by believing in him. Or as John 3:16 declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Not only are those things true, we are so blessed because we have peace with God by believing in Jesus, even though we haven't seen him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an absolute blessing it is to be at peace with God, being right with God through our faith in Jesus. What a blessing it is, even though we haven't seen him. This is what happens when we believe in Jesus. And there are many other blessings. I'll just mention a few more. We are so blessed because we are free from all condemnation. We read about that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What an absolute blessing that is, to know that there is not one sin that will ever be held against us because Jesus paid it all. There is not one sin that we'll have to answer for. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we are so blessed because we are loved with an unbreakable love. And at the end of Romans chapter 8, we read in verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are loved with an unbreakable love because we believe in Jesus. It's our belief in Jesus that causes us to be so, so blessed. And then I'd like to read to you a few beautiful verses from 1 Peter, which we are studying in our home group at the moment. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Do you notice how that's so well connected to those words of Jesus to Thomas when he said, blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. And we read here, though you have not seen him, You love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. What a blessing comes upon those who believe in Jesus even though they don't see him yet. The blessing mentioned here is the joy that we have. This joy unspeakable and full of glory. This joy of knowing that we are saved. That one day we'll be in our true eternal home. We have a joy that helps us so much no matter what we might have to go through here on earth, including this pandemic that we're all facing. What a blessing rests upon God's people who put their faith in Jesus even though we haven't seen him, just as Jesus declared. And then one more verse. At the beginning, or near the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1, we read these words in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How blessed we are to have, through Christ's resurrection and through his death for us, a living hope, that is to say a vibrant hope, a hope that is full and overflowing. It's not a dead hope, it's not a maybe hope, it's a real hope because of what God has done for us in Christ. Friends, as I go back to the words of Jesus to Thomas, Jesus said, blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. I encourage you, despite the turmoil in our world, that you continue to believe in Jesus even though we haven't seen him yet. One day we will, but not yet. Keep on believing. You're blessed of God. That's Jesus' words. You are so blessed in believing. Thomas ended up being blessed because he had to see. But how blessed we are who believe in Jesus even though we haven't seen him. We have a wonderful blessing upon us every day being the Lord's, and we have a living hope to glory in as well. And after I close in prayer, we're going to sing that wonderful song we've been singing over the past time at church here. We're going to be singing that wonderful song, Living Hope, based upon 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. But please would you bow with me in prayer. Our Father, thank you for this beautiful resurrection account in John chapter 20. And I especially want to thank you for your tenderness and kindness and patience to Thomas, the doubter, the unbeliever. Thank you for helping him in your grace to become a strong believer in you. But Father, we thank you that not only did Thomas come to believe, we thank you for helping us come to believe. We thank you that we are so blessed of you when you work in our life and bring us to faith in Christ. And we thank you also for the blessings we have when we meet together and you come into our midst and we meet together and you bless us and help us in our meetings, whether there be many or just a few. And Father, thank you for those awesome blessings that rest upon all your children. Thank you for the assurance of eternal life, for the peace we have with you, for having no condemnation, for being loved with an unbreakable love, for having a glorious hope, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you, and please help us to continue to believe, despite the storms of life, despite the circumstances of life, that we will continue to believe in Jesus, even though we haven't seen him yet. Thank you that he's real. Thank you that he's with us. And we can't help but say thank you, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's now listen to and sing together, Living Hope.